We had previously discussed in Machlokas Rishonim as to whether it is usher to, whether maybe only Nisid Rabbanan, to hisav agav a davar yavish from Machal v'Dusai to Nisbasha Kol Sacha, and we assume the halacha that it's at least usher to heat something up from Machal v'Dusai to Nisbasha Kol Sacha on Shabbos. What is the parallel to that when it comes to heating up of liquids? So the Shvisa for Shabbos, in his Psicha to Bishul Ofe Osiyachas, points out that the Mashmos, he thinks the Mashmos of the Beis Yosef is that if you have water that is already at Yad Soledes Bo temperature, and you heat it up further even to boiling point, even to Kedei Resicha, there's no Chiyuv in doing so. That's at the very least not a Melacha Daraisa. And he's bothered, why is that so? Why is that any different than heating up a davar yavesh from Machal v'Dusai until Nisbashel Kol Sarcha? He thinks the same should be true by water, the Shisas HaShabbos. His assumption is that just as it's at least usher to heat up a davar yavesh from Machal v'Dusai to Nisbashel Kol Sarcha, it should be usher to heat up liquids from, even if it reaches the temperature of Yatz Ledesbo, till the temperature of Kedei Resicha. And therefore he thinks that to the extent that there's such a mashmos in the Beis Yosef that there's no chiv in doing so, and maybe there's no iser in doing so, that's only the case if you have water that was already heated up to boiling point, then cooled down to Yatz Ledesbo, and then you can heat it up a second time. But if it was never heated up to Kedei Resicha before, if the usher heated up past Yad Soledes Bo on Shabbos, and that's the psak of the Magen Avraham, Sukkot and Yud Beis, at least the way the Maaseh Shekel understands the Magen Avraham, that if it had never reached Kedei Resicha before, you're not allowed to heat it up from Yad Soledes Bo to Kedei Resicha. Yeah.
Isn't the whole shot of the cold circle of Machal and Shabbos the fact that you can do more, like from water that could exist the whole board?
So that's a lot of what's driving what we'll see as a machlokas here, but the baseline assumption that she's the Shabbos, the way he presents it, is he thinks that's not what's behind the behind Bishul Achar Bishul per se, and there shouldn't be any distinction between Davar Yavesh and Davar Lach in that regard. Again, that was part of what was driving the whole machlokas we showed him as to whether Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul B'davar Lach B'chlal, and whether it's the difference between water and other liquids, the Pima Gadim, etc. Fine. However, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Se'if Katan Tes paskins that l'chachila, you're allowed to heat up water that already reached Yad Soledes Bo up to Kedei Resicha, again, so long as you're not running into any problems of Chashash Kitoi or any other drabanans in the Shehiyah Hatzara category. But as far as Bishul goes, once it hits Yad Soledes Bo, you've affected a halachic Bishul, and there is no exposure if you heat it up further, even to a higher temperature. And Rav Moshe assumes away lalacha as well in Tshuva Yudala to Rabbi Eider, that even if the water had not reached Kedei Resicha beforehand, it only reached Yad Soledes Bo, it's heter gamur to heat that water up further up to Kedei Resicha, as long as it's still somewhat hot. And that's Rabbi Eider's psak in his Sefer based on Rav Moshe. Rabbi Carr points out that there are mashmeyos this way in Rishonim. He points out the Chidushei Haran, or the Miyuchas Laran, on Daf Mem Amud Beis, the end of Dibur Maskel Shemen, the Ran on Mem Amud Beis. The Ran is the following line, V'achshav lamanu zechus lahatir ma'ashenogu achshav liten mayim chamin lesoch hachamin b'shabbos. What he comments on, practice to place hot water into other heated material on Shabbos. Achar shekar huchmu chnei sheyas ledes bo. Once it already was heated up to yas ledes bo. Shebo b'chlal dishol. Afapi she'achshav einan chamin kol kach. Bikevin she'einan soninin. D'mishum dishol leka v'havilei k'chazara d'mutter. The group of Ektumah. So as long as you've obviated any Hafzara concerns, once the water is already heated up to Yad Soledes Bo, there's nothing wrong in further heating it up to a higher temperature. And he points out the Meiri as well, same daf on Mem Amud Beis, Yirah Maskel Mevi Adam Kitun Shamayim. Meiri has V'Afim Pasuk V'Kan Shemay Acher Shamayim Yesh Ben Bishul Gamor V'Yatzledes. Since complete full halachic bishul is accomplished at the point of Yatzledes, Kol Shen Is Bashu Kamei Esmol Ein Behen Od Bishul. So long as the water already reached Yatzledes Bo when Shabbos began, there's no further concern of bishul. V'mikan Yitiru Litin Mayim Chamin V'Sofa Chamin K'minog Shel Achshav. So both that Ran or Miuchas Ran and Meiri have such a line that full halachic bishul is accomplished at the point of Yatzledes Bo, and even L'chachila, you could affect further heating of that water on Shabbos. So that's the Psaka Ramosha, Psaka the Alter Rebbe, and there seems to be evidence for this in those Rishonim. Halach L'maisa, many poskim are Machmir. Rabbi Karp says you have to be Machmir, or for Shabbos is Machmir. And Rabbi Willie points out, Am Mordechai Simon Tess, that maybe this has to do with the following analysis along the lines of what we developed earlier. That the basis of the Shisas HaShabbos' contention that in Svara there should be no difference between bringing something from Machal Ben Drusai to Kotsarcho Vayavish and bringing something from Yatzledes Bo further up to Kedei Resicha for Lach. So that, the contention of the Makilim that the Shvisa Shabbos quotes on the Beis Yosef that he himself tries to temper, but such a position to say that it would be mutter to heat up water after Yatzledes Bo up to Kedei Resicha, even if it didn't reach Kedei Resicha beforehand, that may be connected to the Prima Gadon that we discussed earlier, that as far as Mayim is concerned, the bishul of water is really chimum, that once it's heated up, that's what affects halachic bishul for water, and therefore once it reaches Yatzledes Bo, so you've affected that chimum, then there's no further bishul to speak of, as opposed to a davar yavesh where bishul is predicated on the enhancement of the item, and even if already reached machal ben drusai, it's edible, but it's still further enhanced by further bishul. So in that sense, give me a second, in that sense, there is a difference between a mayim and a regular davar yavesh. However, the Magen Avraham and the Machmirim, who assume that as long as it hasn't reached Kedei Resicha, there's going to be an Isser in further heating it up. So that's assuming that when it comes to bishul of water, there's both an element of chimum and an element of bishul. So when it comes to chimum, heating it up, chimum is affected at Yatzledes Bo. And you might argue that ein chimum acher chimum. Once it reaches the Yatzledes Bo stage, you've affected chimum, and no further act of chimum is possible. But as far as the bishul element, bishul may depend on what your ultimate goal is, or what is the ultimate enhanced state of this food object. When it comes to water, there is a enhancement if you heat it up to Kedei Resicha over Yatzledes Bo. And therefore, in terms of bishul, maybe there's still an element of bishul that could be further accomplished on that water past Yatzledes Bo. So if you say, like the Ramah, that at least in practice, ein bishul acher bishul v'davar lach, as long as it's lo nistane legamri, that there is a notion of Ein bishal achar bishal bedavar lach. Then it's still possible. That in analyzing the bishul of water, the ein bishul achar bishul davar lach is a function of the chimum element, but there may still be a bishul element up to kedei resicha. And maybe that's the basis of the machmir. Yeah.
Would it make sense to maybe distinguish between like different types of davar lach, where, like, I mean, let's say by water, where it's not really enhanced by further bishul, as opposed to like a soup, let's say, which could be like when a soup sits, like it does become better, tastes better.
So even by water. You could argue, I think that's what Rabbi Uga is arguing, that when it comes to water, as far as the resichas goes, the resichas accomplished at Yas Leh Dispo, there is still value added to the water by heating it up further, and maybe there is an element of bishul even there. But this is potentially relevant to Yonatan, who's not here. I asked about it at the end of yesterday, the last shiur, regarding drops of water in the spigot of an urn that then may cool down and be heated up when you take water out of the urn. So that's relevant if such a mitzvah exists, that's relevant to what we discussed last time as far as the potential visual or visual problem of those drops that either were never heated up or were heated up and cooled down to nistanein legamri. It also could be relevant if the mitzvahs are such that those drops then go into the urn and are heated up again when you're pushing water out of the urn, and some of those drops in the indicator go inside and are heated up. So if those drops had originally been Yasaledispo and then cooled down, not the Nitzan and Legamri, and then it's heated up, or if it cooled down, maybe even worse, and then heated up again, is that a problem? There is a Shuv Mintchasitzchak about this, who is machmir on those drops. Chelek Yud Simen Kavches. Chelek Yud Simen Kavches. I just earlier did it in a chance. I don't have this volume of Mora Shabbos, but apparently Mora Shabbos Chelek Dalid has a discussion about this, which I want to take a look and maybe I'll update you next time if I have a chance to get a hold of it. B'mitzias, I was looking back on my notes from years ago, and it seems that aside from the fancy urns that are on the market now that have all the hidurim that say they account for this as well, but even among classic urns, there seem to be different types of urns that have different mitzvahs as to whether there are those residual drops that are stuck in the spigot that cool off or are cold and then get heated up again. Rabbi Josh Fluke suggested to me, just looking at my notes from last time I gave this year 2 years ago, that there were cheap, fancy thermometers on the market you can get for $20 on Amazon with a little wire that you can stick into the spigot and measure the temperature of the water there. So I think I made the recommendation 2 years ago, if anyone wanted to experiment, then let me know what they find. I'd be happy to hear the results. I don't think anyone took me up on it, but offer still on the table. Blee Nether, I'll try to look for next time a little more into the spigot issue and see what the Mor HaShabbos has in his discussion. Yeah, Gabe.
What's the spirit to be mechavking chimam and bishul to say that once it's yatzal ledispo is no longer chimam but there's still bishul?
Because the chimam, as far as the chimam is a halachic state, so once it reaches the asla d'sbo, so then you've accomplished that halachic status of chimam. But maybe there's another element of bishul that is driven by whether there is value added or whether there is a further toelus in the application of heat, and that may exist even by water. Okay. Let's move on now to discuss bishul achar afia and bishul achar sleep. So this whole discussion emerges from a position of the Urayim that, aside from being in the Urayim, is quoted by the Mordechai and the Ghost Maimonides. Mordechai in Simen Shin Beis has as follows. Quoting from the Urayim, not only is there bishul, even though ein bishul achar bishul v'davar lach, however yesh bishul achar afia utzlia. If you have something that's baked or something that's roasted, and then you affect bishul, that is a violation of bishul. What's his raya? Kedarminim etzachim dafim aleph slov achar kach bishul chayiv. When it comes to the Karban Pesach, that has to be eaten sleep. And you violate a lav if you cook it. If it was roasted and then cooked, chayif. Umoki lak Rav Yossi, and the Gemara there says that that position, slav achakach bishlo is chayif, is predicated on shitas Rav Yossi. The Amar, yosin berake kasharu yamalob b'mevushav. You're only yose matzah if you have a matzah that was soaked in water, that's still considered halachic matzah. But if you have a matzah that was cooked, that's not a lachik matzah, even if it did and liquefy, it still has some consistency that resembles matzah, but if it was subsequently cooked, that is not matzah. Alma, the yesh bishul achar afia, so you see from there, when it comes to matzah, that yesh bishul achar afia, which is why that matzah would be lo yatsa yidei chavasa if it's cooked afterwards, v'huadin, yesh bishul achar tzliyah. And that's also true in the context of Korban Pesach, that if you have a Korban Pesach that was roasted and subsequently baked, then that's no longer halachically roasted. That's a violation of Bashel Mubushah. Hilkach Yizar Adam Shalayitein Pas Afui Afukli Sheini B'makam Shias Ledesbo. Therefore, says the Urayim, you have to be careful not to put baked bread on Shabbos, even in a Klisheini. Klisheini, because we're assuming that it may be considered Kali Abishal and would be subject to Bishal even a Klisheini. The Gam Mitzli Yesh Lizar Kmoke. You have to be careful with something roasted as well. Vahamavusha lo yitain eitzala esh b'chom dodo shiyasla desba. And if something was cooked, you also can put it opposite the flame in such a way that it could get roasted. Vim osa kein Chilel Shabbos. So Yerayim says, based on his understanding of that Gemara in Psachim, that even though ein bishul achar bishul v'davar lach, yesh afia achar bishul, and yesh bishul achar afia, and yesh bishul achar tzli. Then the Mordechai quotes that the Rabbiyah was cholek. The Rabbiyah is in Siman Kuf Tzad Yizayin. Says the Rabbiyah, v'la milsehi. You can't bring the sheet is wrong, and you can't bring a raya from Sachim. The Maisile Parakesim Bevarkin Maskinan Akan Lo Kam Rav Yossi El Gabi Matzah Deviinan Ta Matzah Befei Veleka. The Gemara in Brachos Kesim Bevarkin quotes the sheet is Rav Yossi, and there the Gemara says Rav Yossi isn't telling you a broader halacha that would affect Hilchas Brachos. He's only telling you a local halacha in Hilchas Matzah. That if you have matzah that is subsequently cooked, that's lacking tam matzah b'fiv. And therefore, says Rabbiyah, you can't derive from that Gemara anything about bishul achar bishul or bishul achar afia in Hilchos Shabbos. Rabbi Kar points out the Rabbim sounds like that also, like the Raviyah. Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Vav Halacha Vav. Vav Chametz Matzah. The Rabbim writes, Aval Matzah Shebishla, Eino Yosei B'Zeich Havasa V'Chila. So if you have matzah that was subsequently cooked, you're not Yosei Chiyamatzah. Sharei Ein V'Tampas. that's lacking tam matzah. It sounds like the only kisaron there is tam matzah, not something broader. And Rabbi Karr points out, he thinks you see that clearly from the Rambam Perek Tes Halacha Gimel that we had encountered previously. The Rambam Perek Tes Halacha Gimel. No, in Shabbos. The Rambam Perek Tes Halacha Gimel. Hamavashel alu or davrishayim avusha kol tzarcho, or davrishayin otzarach bishel klal pater. If you're mevashel something that was mevushel kotzarcho, something that's ein tzarach bishel klal, you're pater. So we previously discussed why the Rambam says pater and not mutter. But either way, this is the only presentation of ein bishel achar bishel. So anything that doesn't require subsequent bishel is pater. If you have something that's afoy, that doesn't require subsequent bishel. It's totally edible the way it is. Bishel isn't necessary to make it any more edible, and therefore should not be subject to bishel achar bishel, should not be subject to, there shouldn't be any iser of afia achar, of bishel achar afia. And he points out that he found after the Mishnas Yaakov makes the same aura in the Rambam, Mishnas Yaakov Simin Kuf Dalit. Then he points out this is also the position of the Ramban and the Balamor in Brachos Lamentes, which is a parallel sugya to that Rabbi Yossi that invokes the Rabbi Yossi about matzah. But what is pshat in the Uraim? Taz in Sifkatan Vav writes as follows.
Yeah. Isn't the fact that the Gemara compares it to the tzliyah, the official achat tzliyah by the Karban Pesach, a riot is not a specific din in Mato?
I think the rejection of the Raviyah is saying I was bothered by your question. I'm sorry?
He's just asking about the machlokes
hasugyos. I don't think he's saying it's a machlokes hasugyos. He said, what he's saying is that the way, correct, Gabe's right. The way the Gemara concludes in Brachos is that Rabbi Yossi's memor is of that limited significance, and therefore that shouldn't be a raya to the din of Slav Rachakach Bishlav Ekar Pesach. Correct. The lashon is the Maisel of Herkese Mevarach Nu Maskinan Akal Lakan Rabbi Yossi Lagavi Masa Devin Tam Masa Piv Veleka, and therefore Rabbi Yossi Karthi Bar Pesach is really of no relevance to the din by Garn Pasach, and it's a limited Hilchos Matzalach.
What about the Gemara Yevamos?
What Gemara Yevamos?
Because in Agos Maimonides, he also quotes the Gemara Yevamos. The Gemara Yevamos says that if you boil matzah and then you baked it, so the baking at the end, that's a riot of the Afia Achar Bishul. So there's a concept that Afia Achar Bishul helps.
What Gemara? The Gemara goes Gemara in Yevamos. That's my base in Perikas. So you can show me afterwards. Okay. Yeah.
Why is the Karmati Sakumar not a riot?
The Gemara's Sushal Trib Yossi may not hold the Maskana, according to the Maskana of the Gemara in Sakhar. In Brachas.
But in terms of in and of itself, like how do you why would the Rav El say that there's no right to the fact that there is a significance to a fiachar mishnah? But Mishnah.
Because Yosef says it's because of that's the rebirth of Vasha Vahushan.
That may be a local din by Korban Pesach, and that doesn't tell you about Bishul B'chol Torah Kula or it's relevant for Shabbos. The reason the Reim's Rai is from the fact that the Gemara there links it to Rabbi Yossi, which is a broader halacha or halacha of broader ramifications than just by going past it. Okay, so in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes in Sifei, Yesh Misha Omer, the Davar Shenefo Nitzla, in Bishol, Achakach, Mashke, Yesh Bo Mishim Bishol. The Arsa Litain Pasa Field of Lishane is yes, let us vote. The Yesh Matir, and that Yesh Matir may only be Viklishani. That's what the Ramai adds, Viklishani. It's a question what the Machavis intent was. The Yesh Makil and a Field of Lishon, Vinogli Zarla Kakila, Shalayitain Pasa Field of Lishani, Kosman Shias. Let us vote. Our practice is our Mahmer on Bishol, Achar, Afia, even in a Klishani. Where we're machmir, as we'll see, to treat just about anything as kalei habisha. Says the Taz in the end of Sifkatan Vav. Avanir Ali. The Yerayim Sphere lay de lo shaycha de chiyazu. Gabe Pesach Klau. That the Chiyah of the Raviyah, that Rav Yossi is of no broader relevance. The Gam Gabe Pesach Neima Tam Sli Beina. Even if it's true that the Gemara Bracha says that the Matzah application of the Halacha is because you need Tam Matzah, and Bishol removes the Tam Matzah. That may be true by Korn Pesach as well, that you need Tam Sli, Umisham Hachim Chayib and Mevash Alach Ritzliya. If you're a Mevash Alach Korn Pesach after Ritzliya, that removes the Tam Sli, and that's what's driving the Isser of that Bishol. Avalinian Bracha, Shapir Hava, Hadachia Perakates and Bevarkin, Devadi Tam Yerek, Shayibo Kona Bishol, Yeshon Gam Kain, Acherkach, Alashina Shan al Mal Yusa. Okay, so whatever the Dechia in Brachos is limited to Brachos, as it has, and doesn't really concern us as far as Bishol Achar Bishol. And in reality, there is a Tzadah Shava between Matzah and Korban Pesach, that Bishol removes Tam Matzah, Bishol removes Tam Tzli, and both of those together would indicate that Yesh Bishol Acher Tzli and Yesh Bishol Acher Afia. Yem Kain, Kanan Yibishol B'Shabbos, Shita, the Lesa L'Dechiyazu, and therefore the Raviyah's Dechiya doesn't hold, at least the Yerayim wouldn't be fazed by the Raviyah's Dechiya. Kamoshe Kasavnu, the Malachas Machshabes Asr Torah, because Malachas Machshabes Asr Torah, Kedi Isa Baharbe Dochti. And here, if your intention is to affect an act of Bishol subsequent to the Tzli, then Niskaima Machshabaso, Malachas Machshabes Asr Torah, and that's going to be Aser. Kal Chomer, the name of the Aser, the Rabbanu, Machma Shina Yatam, Masha Kasav Kan, Aser, the Rekol, Kain Nirali, Nachov. Because Malachas Machshavas Aser Torah, and you are doing something to enhance this product through the subsequent Bishol, and that could be an act of Bishol Achar Afia. I should have started reading a couple lines earlier, but earlier the Taz compares this to Mistamek V'Yafalo, that just as by a Dover Lach, according to the Beni Ruchim, Beni Yonah, you're going to be high for subsequent Bishol, Mistamek V'Yafalo. So here too, having the Bishol Akrafia is in essence an enhancement, a Mistamek V'Yafalo, because you are Nehane from the new Tam that is being imparted through the Bishul subsequent to the Tzli, or the Bishul subsequent to the Afia. So that's the Taz's presentation here. That is analogous to Mitzvah of the Afalom, Melechus Machshavas Asra Torah, and therefore the Rebbe is of the opinion that you've effected a new act of Bishul, Achar Afia or Achar Tzli. Yeah.
So you're saying if you pass in that by Mitzvah of the Afalom it's not Bishul, like the Rashba?
Then
over here also,
he's
linking it to Machlokes, or
he's
just...
Well, he's linking it to what we assume
the halacha. I mean, we pass that, so that's just the right stuff. If it's
both. Right. And the Ivle Tal in Sivkot and Tesvav, Os Aleph to Gimel, takes issue with this analysis of Taz. He doesn't like the comparison to Mistamek V'Yafalo, because we only find that application of Mistamek V'Yafalo with Dover Lach, at least that position of the again, what you're saying may be correct, but the Taz is just he's coming to explain the Urayim in light of that distinction between Mistamek V'Yafalo and the Rabbeinu Yerucham, and the Gleital says that Rabbeinu Yeruchim and Mistamek V'Yafalo is limited to Dabar Lach, not by Dabar Yavesh. So he's not sure why that analogy should be correct. And therefore, the Gleital has a different explanation of the Urayim. And the Gleital thinks that Pshat in the Urayim would say that Pshat in Be'inan Ta'amatza is even when the Gemara in Brachos says bein and ta'amatz, it's not telling you a local Hilchos Brachos halacha that if you're mevashel something that was already baked, that's a chisaron in ta'amatzah. It's saying that if you're mevashel something the matzah, then that becomes halachic matzah shira, which is not usable to be yotzei yedei chavaso on Pesach. But you understand that's because Yesh Bishol Achar Afia, that the Bishol Achar Afia gives it that new status of Matzah Ashira. So even when the Gemara says Bein and Tam Matzah, that's not a local Pesach Halacha. That's telling you fundamentally that the Bishol has accomplished a Shinui Hashem, a Shinui status, and that's considered Matzah Ashira, which is why it's inadmissible for Fia Matzah on Pesach. So Rabbi Willig has the following analysis in the same siman in Am Mordechai of this machlokas, or the two approaches of the Taz versus the Ikle Tal. Again, the Taz, that the Urayim's understanding Afia, Bishol Achar Afia, is akin to Mistamek V'Yafalo, that there's an enhancement to the item subject to the subsequent Bishol, and that's why Yesh Bishol Achar Afia, and the Ikle Tal, that when you're mevashel, it gives it a new status in the context of matzah shira, which indicates that yesh bishol achar bishol. Now, according to the Taz, what's driving everything is there a significant tikkun to the food item. So when you have bishul acharfia, that affects a significant tikkun to the food item, and that's different than bishul acharbishul by regular davyavish. If a davyavish was sufficiently cooked before, subsequent cooking doesn't create a tikkun on that object. So it's true that mitzamek v'yafalo b'davar yavesh doesn't pose a problem. Mitzamek v'yafalo only poses a problem b'davar lach, but that's because the mitzamek v'yafalo b'davar lach affects a tikkun. And by analogy, the afia achar bishul also affects a tikkun. According to the Leital, what's significant is there a new halachic status? So he says the matzah has a new halachic status, the matzah shira is no longer matzah. So bishul acharfia is invoked when it creates a new halachic status. Nafkamina, says Rabbi Willig, is can you put a piece of bread or a piece of challah opposite the fire in such a way that it's going to become toast? So that would potentially be so. In that case, if you have bread that was baked and now you're toasting it, according to the Taz, that may be a significant enough tikkun or shinoi, and that's the Pesach of the Prima Gadim. Mishmas Ozav Sivkatan Zayin. Whereas, according to the Gleital, you have to look at whether there's a new halachic status of Bishul, and that you don't have. If you have bread and then it's toasted by exposure to the flame, that hasn't created a new halachic status of bishul.
Is toasting bishul?
Toasting would be a kind of afia.
So then is there yish afia?
So ain afia afia, but if it's a different type of afia, so then maybe we say according to the Taz that you're changing it. It's not that the categories aren't what's critical. What's critical is, are you giving it a new tam? Are you giving it a new, are you making a tikkun? So even if it's a different flavor of afia, but if it has an enhanced tikkun, maybe that would still be usher because of a subsequent type of bishul.
Is that true by bishul also?
That, arguably, if you have that lumdus, maybe it could be true by bishul also. If you have
a little bit more, whatever, like make the steak rare to medium.
Well, that would be tzli, but in theory, if you have a different type of tzli, so maybe that would be true, yeah.
Didn't you say for the tal, just that we referenced before, is that the reason why it becomes matzah shira is because we say yish bishul acharfia, not the other way around. So, do we need a halachic status, or is halachic status created because we say yish bishul acharfia? Does that make sense?
I think what he's saying is that the Because it is the raya that yesh bishul acharfia is that it has the new halachic status. So we're calling it, that act gives it a status of, I don't remember the exact formulation or whether it's kind of all coming together b'vas achas, but you're you are affecting a new act of bishul, which is either reflected by or happens because it's now going to be considered matzah shira. To look back exactly, I don't remember the exact lashon. Okay. So the pashas is that just like yesh bishul achar tzli, which was the language of the Urayim, just like yesh bishul achar tzli, yesh bishul achar fia, it's also tzli achar bishul. Not just bishul achar tzli, but tzli achar bishul as well. There is a shilta giborim, samach alafam, beis bedapi arif, the Em Sadibur Vachem Bevushal, Shiltibur and Samachal from Dated Abbe Rif, who says, not true, that even though Yesh Bishal Akhar Tzli, Ein Tzli Akhar Bishal, because the Torah never said so. But we don't assume the way. The Pashas is that there's no Svar al-Khalik between the order. If Yesh Bishal Akhar Tzli, Yesh Tzli Akhar Bishal. So if that's the case, that Yesh Tzli Acher Bishol, the Be'er Halacha is bothered by the following. Be'er Halacha in Sif Tesvav. Lehu Yaveish Kenegan Medua. So we saw previously, the Mechaber tells us in Sif Tesvav, that because Eit Bishol Acher Bishol with Davar Lach, Davarish in Espasha called Sarcha, Lehu Yaveish, something that was fully cooked, you can put opposite the flame, even if it's going to reach Yad Saledisba. Says the Be'er Halacha, Tzarachim, Hala'el B'sif Hei, maybe Dasi Reim, that Yesh Bishol Acher Tzli, and if that's the case, Yesh Tzli Acher Bishol, so why shouldn't we be concerned? You have a fully cooked piece of meat, you're putting it opposite the flame, no liquid medium, it's going to roast. That's what Sli is. Ayin Shal Magen Avram, who had in the Yesh Sli Acher Bishol, Ve'ech Matir Hacha B'Stam. Says, V'chein Hichter, V'sefer Ma'amar Mordechai, Ayin Shal, Shenivchak Liyashiv. So he says, Mamre Mordechai already raised this question and tried to get out of it, but it sounds like the Be'er Halacha wasn't so impressed with the Mamre Mordechai's Yeshuvim, which we'll take a look at in a second. But way before the Be'er Halacha raised this issue, or the Mamre Mordechai raised this issue, Minchas Kohen raises this issue. In Shar Beis, Perek Dalet, Os Hei, and Vav. Minchas Kohen, Shar Beis, Perek Dalet, Os Hei, and Vav. Minchas Kohen is bothered, why did the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch not weigh in on this? Why is the Mechaber Matir unequivocally, without any hesitation or caveat, that you can put fully cooked meat opposite a flame? Isn't that Sli Achar Bishol? He doesn't understand why, but he says, bottom line, the Mechaber was Makel, so we don't need to be firmer than the Mechaber, but he has no explanation as to why that should be the case. What are the Mamre Mordechai's attempts to get out of this that the Mishnah Berurah wasn't so fond of? Mamre Mordechai Sivkata and Yud Zayin, Shemi Yishlomar, the Hacha Mayri She'ena Basar Roa Pinaya Eish, Elohu Munach Beto Chakadera Shenis Bashaba. They were not talking about a case where you have a piece of meat you put on the counter opposite the flame where it's going to roast. Rather, you have a piece of meat that you're putting in a pot without any liquid, and that would not be considered sleek. We'll talk in a few moments about sleek kedar, which is that form of roasting where it's not roasted in a liquid medium, but roasted in a dry or empty pot setting where it's just going to roast in its own internal liquids, or its own internal food. Or whatever liquid comes out of it. But that's what Mamre Mordechai says. Maybe we're not talking about real tzli, we're talking about what we'll call tzli kedar, where you're putting it in a pot, and there's no liquid there, but it's not formal tzli. One second. And there we'd say, Ein bishol acher bishol, the odish lamar, Dachikam or Davar Yavish Ainbo Merek Lo Shaykh Bo Bishol, Umutra Lino Negan Hamadura, Kolomar de Yacho Lino Lasal Kedera Shaysa Bunachas Negan Hamadura Mibodyom. So maybe he's talking about where it's Mibodyom. Inami Yashomer the Hashin Espasha La Dafka Rosalomer Sinitzla. Or the Mechaber never really meant to say that you can take a piece of cooked meat and put it opposite the flame. The only meant to say you can take a piece of roasted meat and put it opposite the flame. So the Mamre Mordechai's way out is either saying they're talking about a hechadimsa where it's not going to be sli achar bishul, be bishul achar bishul, or where it's not going to be bishul slia. But either where the act that you're doing is not an act of bishul, or where the original act was not an act of bishul, but an act of sli.
The way of saying that the current act is not bishul is to say what?
That it's what sli kedar or something of that sort, where you're not roasting it, you're putting it in an empty pot. And we'll talk about why that may be different category of sli. Shvisas HaShabbos addresses the same problem. Be'er Rechovo Sivkatan Peites. He has another Okimta Teres. Maybe the Mechaber's Heter is only in a case where it's a food item that isn't subject to sli. If you have rice, you can't roast rice. That's what he writes. I guess that's true. If you put rice opposite a heat source without any liquid, nothing's going to happen to the rice. So if you have, there are food items that are not subject to sli. So another okimta, maybe that's what the mechaber is talking about. But in a chanami, if you have a regular cooked piece of meat, it would be a problem to put a keneged hamadura in a place where it's going to reach yasled as well, because that could affect sli achar bishul. Igletal has another suggestion, which Rabbi Eider writes should not be accepted lalacha. Igletal ostes the yerali ode the davar shen is bashel kol tsarcho v'hu yavesh muter lahamido keneged hamadura. If you have something that's been fully cooked, davar yavesh nisbashel kol tsarcho, you can put it opposite the flame. So long as your intention is to heat it up and not to roast it, even if memela is going to end up roasting. And he explains in Sivkot in Yuches Os Aleph that if the tzli doesn't enhance the bishul, even if there's an objective act of roasting going on, but if it's not enhancing the bishul, then you're not going to be chayev. He says that may be analogous to gitin yutes mavir sikra al gabi dio, that if you have something written in proper ink, then you're not chayev mishim kosev if you write over that in a different color or a different type of ink. Says the Igletal, that's because the original ink is 100% sufficient. If you're writing over that ink in a different color, different flavor, you haven't in any way enhanced the ksav, so you may be chai for other things, but you're not going to chai in mishum kose. He says here too, even if bottom line you are doing an act of sli, but if from your perspective the sli is not in any way adding to the attractiveness of this piece of meat or you're interested in eating it, your kavanah is only to heat it up, not to roast it, maybe that wouldn't be a violation of sli. He writes something a little bit different in the Avnei Nezer, Choshe Mishpat Simen Kufhei, that Shuvlo Shayach Lomer that sli mevatel habishol, Sharelo haya nitzla belade bishol harishon, vadai bishulo harishon alav. And in that case, the sli, if it's something that couldn't have been roasted alone, without the original bishol, so then maybe there's no tzli la'achar bishul. That's Igletal's suggestion, that if your intention is only chama v'lo litzloso, that wouldn't be a violation of tzli achar bishul. So that seems to not be accepted as such halacha, but is a chazed ish that does seem to be the halacha mechuver here, which is not that far off from what the Igla Tal is saying, but formulated differently, and that seems to be the most attractive explanation over here, other than creating limiting okimtas in the mechaber. Chazanish writes in Simon Lamed Zayin Os Yudalid, Simon Lamed Zayin Os Yudalid, Yir Maskel Sif Tesvav, quotes the Berlacha, Yalkach Asarf Lomar, the Kol Shalo Yavu Latam Tzli Mamish, Ella She Yis Yabish Kitsas, Eim Bezeb Bishal Acher Bishal. Tzli means that you're roasting it in such a way that the roasting imparts a taste of something roasted. If you have something that is basically cooked and exposure to heat is going to dry it out a little bit, it's not going to give it the taste of something roasted, that's not called sli, le'inyan sli, achar bishel. The efshar did sli kedar kedin bishel inyan zeh. It says maybe that's what kli Tzli Kedar is, which we'll get to. The Dafka Tzli Al Gabi Gecholim Al Shpud Yesh Betzli Azu Acher Bishel. So if you're roasting something on a spit, you're roasting something on the coals, that's a real full-fledged act of roasting that's going to impart the taste of something roasted, that's Tzli, that would be Tzli Acher Bishel. But if you're just putting something on the counter opposite the flame, it's going to dry it out a little bit, it's not going to impart the taste of something roasted, that's not considered tzli le'inyan zeh. So says the Chazon Ish, and that seems to be the Mahalach HaMechuver in explaining the psak of the Mechaber regarding putting a davar yavesh in his bashuk l'tzarcho opposite a flame in such a way that you don't violate any hafzara issue. Mora Shabbos points out the Rosh Hashulchan something that as well, like the Chazon Ish in Se'if Nun Zayin. And he quotes from Rav Yashiv that Rav Yashiv endorsed that Chazon Ish analysis lemaisa, that if the bottom line, if the taste is not going to be, if the act of putting it opposite the flame is not going to impart a taste of something roasted, of roasted meat to the meat, then there's no concern of sli achar bishal. Yeah.
How do you do that? Like, how do you know when it's going to impart?
Ask a cook.
Is there anything that you would not feel comfortable putting on, like a hot plate, let's say? Any cooked food that I would not feel comfortable?
Any cooked food that would be considered nitzla if you put it on a hot plate dry. Can't think of any offhand.
Is this like, what are like, does this come up in my sense?
It'll come up in that context.
Like cooked chicken, or something, like cooked chicken or something?
Yeah, if you have a cooked piece of meat, a cooked piece of chicken. If you are concerned, meaning if you took the Mamar Mordechai approach or the Shvisa Shabbos approach and say the Mechaber is only allowing a stern okimta, then that would be problematic. Then you couldn't put your cooked piece of chicken on a hot plate on Shabbos, assuming that we've solved all the Hafzara issues. You couldn't put your chicken on a hot plate in Shabbos because it's the Yom Kippur.
I mean, most chicken's going to be roasted anyway. I guess it'd be like soup chicken.
No, that's true. I don't think most chicken is roasted. There's definitely cooked chicken around in the world. Now, usually the cooked chicken is probably cooked in a gravy or a liquid, and you're not going to put it on the hot plate because it's in the liquid. But if you had a piece of cooked chicken that's totally dry, then if you don't accept the Chazon Ish, that would be problematic. So it seems like the Chazon Ish's analysis is the best way out of the Berlachas Kasha, and ends up giving us a comfort level in what otherwise would be very restricting in terms of the ability to heat up a davar yavesh on Shabbos. Okay. So the Gemara in Pesachim Mem Aleph Amud Aleph has a machlokas about the status of Tzli Kedar. I forgot to bring the Gemara. Can anyone pull up a Tzur Sadaf Pesachim Mem Aleph Amud Aleph for me? Go to HebrewBooks.org and get Tzur Sadaf. Just wanted to read Rashi there, sorry. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. So Gemara has Tanur Rabbanan B'mayim U'vashel Mubushal B'mayim. So you're not allowed to cook the corn paste up in water. Eliel B'mayim Shar Mashim Yinayim. So how do you know that the Isser applies not only to cooking in water, but any liquid medium? Amar Kal V'chomer. Ma Mayim She'im Mafikin Tam Anasuin Shar Mashim She'im Mafikin Tam L'Koshekei. Rabbi Omer B'mayim Eliel B'mayim Shar Mashim Yinayim Talon V'Hashem B'Vashal B'Kol Makom Mai B'nayu Ike B'nayu Tzli Kedar. Says Rashi, what's Tzli Kedar? She'mevashen Oso B'Kedera B'lo Mayim. That you're cooking it in a pot without water, ubalosha mashka, without any liquid, medium, alamayim anaflatin mishamno. So how does it cook? It cooks in the water that the liquid that comes out of the piece of meat. Sigmar says, that's the nafkamina between these drashos. It is considered to be bashel mevushal, but it's not, if you learn from the Kal V'chomer, it's not b'chlal that Kal V'chomer. Fine. So that's what the Gemara presents, thank you so much, as Tzli Kedar, which is defined, according to Rashi, as something that is essentially cooked, but usually the definition of roasting means not using a liquid medium and heating it up as, or affecting a change in the status as such. Tzli Kedar is somewhere between bishul and tzli, in that there's no liquid medium, but it's not roasted over flame, it's what we would call cooked in a pot. So cooked in a pot without any outside liquid medium. So says the Rambam, Perikhes, Halacha Ches Korn Pesach. Perches Korn Pesach Halacha Ches. Tzli Kedar is considered to be bishul. And the Kesef Mishnah there points out that that may be true l'halacha l'kuli alma. That machlokas tanayim is about whether the nafkamina Gemara has about Tzli Kedar is in terms of the local drushas there. But bottom line, halacha l'maisa, everyone would agree that Tzli Kedar is not is considered bishul and not tzli. So that was a mamar Mordechai. So kimtan the mechaber that the mechaber is only matir putting a davar yavish and nisbashin kol sarka keneged ha'esh if it's tzli kedar, if it's in a pot without any other liquid, and that would be considered bishul and not tzli. Now the prima gadim raises the following question. Mishras Azav, Simen Shin Yud Ches, Sifkatan Zayin. Shin Yud Ches, Sifkatan Zayin. He says, Miloshin Hayireim. The Reim is talking about Nefa Benitzla Bimashke. So, is that talking only about Yayin Mayim the Shemen? What happens if you fry something? If you cook it bishuman, cook it in fatty oil. So where does Tigun fit into the equation? So the Mora Shabbos explains where the Begadim is coming from as follows. That everyone would agree, there's no question, that let's say you cook something in water, and then you cook it in wine. So even though when you're cooking it in wine, you're adding a new taste, but that's still bichlal bishal achar bishal. If you haven't really changed, the bishal b'mayim is bishal, the bishal b'yayin is bishal. So we would still say ein bishal achar bishal. But if you're cooking something in oil, you're frying something in oil, so maybe that's a different act of bishal. Maybe that's more analogous to tzli, because the way it's cooking is that the heat is affecting the item that's being cooked on the edges. Because when you're frying, you're basically burning up whatever the oil liquid medium is, and then the heat is more aggressively treating the food that's being fried. So maybe that's more analogous to tzli. So if you have something that's already mevushal, and then you fry it, is that considered to be tzli achar bishal? Is that considered to be bishal achar bishal? And vice versa, if you have something that is fried and then you want to cook it, is that considered bishal achar tzli? Is that considered bishal achar bishal? That's the suffix of the Prima Gadim. This is most relevant to putting croutons in your soup on Shabbos. If croutons are fried, and frying is considered to be tzli, so then it would be a problem to put those croutons in your yad soledes v'soup, even in a klisheni, because we're machmir that just about anything is considered kali bishal for klisheni. So Shevet HaLevi discusses this first in Chelek Zayin Siman Yud Beis. Chelek Zayin Siman Yud Beis, where he says, Yesh Makom Lahachmir. However, in Siman Yud, Siman Samach Gimel, Siman Yud, Chelek Yud, sorry, Siman Samach Gimel, Chelek Yud, Siman Samach Gimel, 1997. He writes that if it's something that's deep fried, then that definitely is considered to be bishul and not tzli. If it's deep fried, so there's ribui shemen in the frying, so then that's a lot of liquid, and that everyone should agree is considered to be bishul and not tzli. And therefore, if you have a deep fried crouton, it would not be a problem to put it in the soup on Shabbos. That's what Shmir Shabbos writes in Sif Ayin, Paragala Sif Ayin, that if you have deep-fried items, that's considered to be mevushal, and therefore you can put soup croutons in the soup, even in a Kli Rishon Shehusar Me'al Gabe Eish on Shabbos. And he quotes here in Funot Reishit Beis, as does the Mora Shabbos, B'Shem Rav Yashiv. The Rav Yashiv was maskim to that as well, that a deep-fried crouton can go in the soup on Shabbos. Rabbi Karpreis, that he heard from Rav Yashiv, or he heard that Rav Yashiv would always warn people in his Shabbos HaGadol Drasha that they have to be careful not to put your matzah, I guess he was talking to an audience at Eichu Brachs, that you should be careful not to put your matzah in the soup on Shabbos, on Pesach, because that is a bishul achar afia problem. The croutons, I think one of the Jewish revolting rights, you have to always check up with the manufacturer to make sure that the mode of production is the same, that we're still talking about something deep fried and not more moderately fried. Again, if it's deep fried, it seems like there's a lot to rely on to assume that that's considered to be tzli and not mevushal. The bigger problem, to the extent that we are machmir on a fiyach or bishul, be chala or the like, which is clearly nefet, to put that in soup, even klisheni, would be a problem of bishul achar afiyah. Mora Shabbos points out the same thing with the chalent. He says he shouldn't put, I don't know why everyone would want to put chala chalent, but he says if you have a liquidy chalent, so it would be a problem to put your chala in the chalent as well because of bishul achar afiyah. Yeah.
So you have to let us know is what we consider bishul by demer lach.
Right.
But here you're putting in the demer yavish. So maybe, why is the if it's yatzel edesbo?
No, yatzel edesbo is a temperature that's going to be mevashel the demer yavish also. Yatzel edesbo is always a temperature for affecting bishul. What's well, the difference between lach and yavish is what is the point at which you are. Yatzel is also relevant by lach in the trajectory of when is something, how do we define something as having been cooked. But in terms of the temperature needed to affect bishul, that she was always yatzel edesbo. Time.
Isn't this bishul
b'tishreishi? So we'll have to discuss whether there's such a thing. What was that? Why? I don't know if you're such a thing as a klish lishi. We'll have to we'll get to that when we get to klish lishi. If there is such a thing as a klish lishi, then you're fine with klish lishi.
Okay.
Question.
Yeah.
So it's the problem of putting into the bread to the chalent and bread into the and the croutons into the soup is bishul achar bishul or
the croutons into the soup. If croutons, if frying is considered to be tzli, that would be a problem of tzli achar bishul. Bishul achar tzli. But we said, according to most poskim, if it's deep fried, that's not tzli. And putting the chal in the soup would be a problem of bishul achar afiyah. The Be'er Halacha raises a question on Sifhei, Tiva Maskul Yesh Misha Omer, is there Bishul Achar Tzli Achar Bishul? If you have something that's cooked and then roasted, can you cook it afterwards? Now, where does this come up? Shmir Shabbos points out, Ha'ar Memches B'Shem Mishlam Zalman, that's relevant if you have a chalent that dried up, and now you want to put more water into it. So we'll have to discuss the ways of doing that when we get to Shehiya and Hachzara. But he says, there are people that are makel, if you have a cholim that started out with liquid, so that was mefushal, then it dries out, now it's tzli. Now you want to put more liquid in it in a permissible fashion, that would potentially be bishal, achar tzli, achar bishal. So Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying that there many are makel. Number one, maybe that's not really a classic case of bishul achar tzli achar bishul because it's all really considered mevushal. It just had the water evaporated, but it's all really a hemshech of the original bishul. Or maybe we're makel because tzli kedar is not considered to be tzli, it's considered to be bishul. So if you're going to call it tzli, all that was going on is the water evaporated, so now you're not adding any, you're not roasting it over a spit or over a coals, it's just stewing it in some juice. So that would be tzli keder anyway, so maybe that's not an authentic case of bishul achar tzli achar bishul. So even if we're machmer on bishul achar tzli achar bishul, like the Safin the Be'er Halacha, Shlomo Zalman thought that what he observes is a minhag to be makel to add water to the chalent. It's not necessarily a violation of Bishul Achar Tzli Achar Bishul.
Where's the Be'er
Halacha? Be'er Halacha is on Sifhei. Okay. Let's just start talking a few minutes about Kli Rishon, if you don't mind, just because we're getting behind. The Mishnah tells us on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, if you have an ilfis and a kedera, ilfis is a big pot, a stew pot, kedera is a small pot, a boiling pot, that you remove from the flame when they are still boiling, you can't put spices into them. Aval nosei l'sof ha-karo l'sof ha-tamfoy. But you can put spices into a ka'ara tamfoy, which is a klisheni. Says Rashi, shavira min ha-or mi-musachim ben ha-shmasho. So it was still heating up, it was still boiling when Shabbos began. You took it off the flame. L'yitin l'sof ha-tablo mi-she tafshach. The klibishon calls mancher ha-seach mi-vasho. Klibishon, even if it's not in the flame anymore, so long as it is still boiling, it is mevashel. So we see over here that a kli rishon shehusar me al gabei ha'esh is still mevashel. Asks Tosvos and daf mem amibes. Dibur maskul shema mina. With the Gemara here, mem amibes establishes that kli sheni ainam mevashel. Tema. Maishna kli sheni with kli rishon. What's the fundamental difference between klibish and klisheni? The e yasaled that's a feel klisheni nami. The e yasaled that's a feel klibish nami and mevashel. Tosis's assumption, the question, is that bishul should be a function of heat. So if something is of a temperature of yasaled, this bow, should it make a difference if it's in a klibish and klisheni klibrevi, it should be mevashel. If it's lower than yasaled, this bow, then even in a klibishon, it shouldn't be able to be mevashel. So why is there any difference in between kli rishon and kli sheni? We should just take a thermometer and figure out whether the temperature is above or below yasaled d'sbo to know whether bishul is affected. V'yesh lomar lefi shekli rishon mitoch she'amad al ha'or dof nosaf chanin. When it comes to kli rishon, because it was on the fire originally, even if it was removed, the walls of the kli still retain heat. Umasik chomo zman ruba. He retains heat for an extended period of time. Lakach nasa boshir because man shayasled espo aser. So when it comes to a kli rishon shehusal gabe esh, as long as it's still yasled espo, because it retains that heat, it affects bishul. Aval kli sheni afal gabe yasled espo, even if it is yasled espo right now, mutter she'ein dof nosav chamin v'holach miskarer. It's on the way down. It's cooling off. So even if it happens to be yasaled d'sbo, that's only for a fleeting moment. It's not going to last, and therefore kli sheni eino mevashel. Yeah.
Wasn't didn't the Gemara say that the line is whether or not it's boiling? Once it stopped boiling, you could put it in.
You mean the Mishnah? The Mishnah Membe says that if it's boiling when you take it off the flame, then you can't put anything in it because kli rishon is mevasha. Now, it doesn't speak necessarily to when what the lowest temperature that we might still be concerned about is. I think what you're getting at, or what you might be getting at, is a ara that the Yorcha Shabbos quotes from Rav Shmuel Orbach, the Rashi we just read, I'm a base of an aleph. L'idil and sofatav, l'mishetach, shat the kli rishon, kol zman sheroseach, mevasha. So it sounds like it's only mevasha if it's boiling, but not if it's merely yasled d'sbo. And he points out that's the mashmos of the Rambam as well. In Perakuf Bey's Halacha Vav, Meicham Shapina Mimenu Mayim Chamim Mutu Litin Losafa Mayim Sonen Kidei Lefshiran Mutu Losud Mayim Chamim Losafa Mayim Sonen or Sonen etc. V'chein Kideiro Rosachas. If it's rosachas, then you can put tavlin in mashma. Less than rosachas, maybe you can. So Tosus is very clear. We just learned that mem that if it's a kli rishon, husar me'al gabe eish, as long as it's yasaled d'sbo, that's mevasha. Maybe there's a mashmos in this Rashi and the Rambam. That's not the case. Maybe it's only mevasha with husar gabe eish if it is odo rosayach. Rabbi Karp isn't convinced about that diuk in Rashi. He thinks maybe Kol Mashi Rosef is lapped afka. And Ladina, even according to Rashi, maybe the threshold is still Yad Soledis. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Shin Yud Ches Se'if Tes. Kli Rishon Perish HaKlisha Nishtamish Bawal Or Afilu La'achar Shevi Ru Ne'ala Eish Mevashel Kol Zman Shiyad Soledis. So once it's removed, even if it's removed from the flame, it's still mevashel as long as it is still yad soledes bo. So whether or not you have a diuk in Rashi or the Rambam, that doesn't transfer lahalacha to what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Now Tosis is kasha to understand what's the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni. Shouldn't it all be dependent on yad soledes bo? Maybe on some level that's what's driving a Yerushalmi that the Rishonim quote, the Ran, Daf Kafam and Aleph Adapi Rif, Diva Maskal Darmina, Kafam and Aleph Adapi Rif, Diva Maskal Darmina, quotes the Yerushalmi in Perek Kira. The Yerushalmi says, I'll just read the relevant line, Ezehu Tafshil Baror, Kolsho or Mahalech Tachtav. The way the Rishonim understand this line in the Yerushalmi is that Tafshil Barer means a Daraisa act of Bishul. The only Daraisa act of Bishul is if you have a Kli Algabe Eish Mamish. Once you remove it from the flame, that's a word, at best, an Isser Derabana. That's how the Ramban explains in Avodah Zarah Ayin Vav HaMibayz. Ramban writes, Pashale Shehu Patra Val Aser. She'ein bishul barer ela b'or mahalat tachtav. Bishul d'oraisa is only for a kli al gabe esh. Once you remove it from the flame, that's only bishul d'rabbanan. Yeah.
And that fit with what we said before, that kol d'or is
high. How does that fit with the fact that Toldos Ha'or is Chayev? Okay, so I'll... The similar question, Rabbi Carr points out that the Aruch HaShulchan argues that the Rambam argues that the Rambam is like this Yerushalmi. Rabbi Carr points out that doesn't fit with Paratas Lacha Beis. Hanosa Beis of Besad Amecham Beshusha Tisgagla Vinisgagla is Chayiv. Shemavashim told us or Kemavashim Boratzma. So that's a kasha what Gabe's raising on the Rambam. How does Yerushalmi understand that din, which is basically a Mishnah? Right? So you're asking, Gabe?
Yeah.
Is it clear in the Mishnah in other business I make just gavi is getting a sidarin? So maybe the Shabbat understand that's a din derabanan.
But the Gemara said, "If I look Gilgamai, I'm a Yosef."
That's our Gemara.
Saying of Yosef, the Rishon is arguing on Yosef.
The Rishon, yeah, I mean, I think it's assumed that even if this is Yerushalmi, it's against the Bavli, and there's no correct. So it, in the Rap. Yeah, the Aruch HaShulchan has a cheshire where he thinks that the Rambam would agree to this. Rabbi Carr points out it doesn't really fit in the Rambam for that reason, but maybe the Shami is cholek that Mishnah on Lama Ches is only a din de Rabbah. But either way, the Mistimus HaPoskim, we don't assume like this Yerushalmi, and we assume that even if you remove a Klivisha Megabe Eish, that's still a Velacha Daraisa. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Yeah?
The Ramban was passing that way in other words, or he was just
the Ramban
saying?
The Ramban was quoting the Yerushalmi. In Shulchan Aruch, we definitely do not pass in that way. And the Yerucha Shulchan, when he goes to the Rishonim, thinks that there may be Mashmoyos in the Rambam and Rashi like the Yerushalmi.
Still be sure that the Ramban was going to Yerushalmi negative.
The Ramban was not. The Ramban is Mifarish Yerushalmi. He's not passing like the Yerushalmi. Okay, so next time we will finish up Kli Rishon and start talking about Kli Sheni. So you have the next set of Mar Makomos. My thought process in terms of